Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening power, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. O thou who art from everlasting unto everlasting, Holy Father, who dwellest in light unapproachable, and yet who art ever ready to hear thy people when they call upon thee, we come as a congregation of worshipers to pray that our words and our thoughts may be acceptable unto thee. Help us so to worship and so to work that our worship and our work may be of one piece, and that in our work we are serving thee. As we meet as a company of thy people, we are conscious of our individual and our corporate needs. And we lift before thee today those of our number who stand in particular need. We pray for those for whom the routine of daily activity may have become nothing more than routine. Give to us, we pray, such a sense of participation in the eternal that we may see each task as a holy gift from thee. For those who bear the anxieties of illness, of financial stress, of personal difficult decisions, we pray that the abundance of thy wisdom and grace may be their portion. And for the life of this community, this fellowship of faith and of learning, we pray, as thou hast brought this place into being to take its life in thy work, so wilt thou preserve by thy mighty power and nurture and grant that more and more those of us who study and labor here may work for the advancement of the gospel and for the coming of thy kingdom as a reality in the lives of those among whom we minister. Forgive us wherein we have sinned. Cleanse our hearts and our hands that we may worthily worship and represent thee. We pray in the strong name of thy Son. Amen. The oldest and the simplest confession of faith in Christian history is the statement, "Jesus is Lord." This was often upon the lips of the first century Christians. When we examine the records of the New Testament and see the fragments there of apostolic preaching, we find that in every case those representatives of God affirmed the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was the anointed one of God and that by the power of God at work in him, he had been raised from the dead and had been declared to be Lord. They called him Jesus, which was his name, thus identifying him as a man among men. They called him the Christ, thus saying, "We have confidence that he is the anointed one of God." They called him Lord, thus saying, We believe that this one is very God of very God, the fullness of the Father's disclosure to us. For 2,000 years, the faithful have preached and prayed and taught and sung of Jesus Christ as Lord. This morning, you sang beautifully the coronation hymn, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." We are a company of God's people who unashamedly affirm that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? What does it mean thus to affirm our faith in him as Lord? I cannot trace out all the fullness of the meaning, but I should like this morning to call to our attention two things, two significant things that the confession Jesus is Lord means to you and to me. In the first place, when we say that Jesus is Lord, we are saying that a relationship of obedient love has been established between God and ourselves. I have chosen those words with care, for love has been so sentimentalized and so romanticized and so commercialized in our time that we have grown soft and flabby even in our concept of Christian love. But the love relationship established in the confession that Jesus is Lord is obedient love. And right there is a rock of offense to our generation. We do not want to feel that we have to obey anybody or that we have to do anything. I do not know how this has come about. Perhaps it is our attempt at an expression of democracy. And perhaps in that attempt we have caricatured democracy and we have sought at the same time to democratize God. But if Christ is Lord, he is to be obeyed. This is not to suggest that his commandments are grievous, or that he is a hard taskmaster who drives us beyond our own desires to do his will. For indeed, his will is good, and his way is the way of peace. But our relationship to him is one of obedience. As we look upon the world in which we live and work in this generation, we see that we have come upon a time which is not unlike that described by the writer of the book of Judges in the last verse of that ancient document, where he says there was no king over Israel in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Even at the risk of oversimplifying, I should like to suggest for your consideration that one of the reasons for lawlessness, crime, delinquency, family disorganization, and other baffling problems of our society is the fact that we have come to do that which is right in our own eyes. If Jesus is Lord, he is to be obeyed. And this obedience is in the context of love. It is obedient love. This love is expressed toward God in outgoing trust, in reflective commitment of life, in purposeful participation with the Father in His redemptive enterprise in the world. This love is expressed toward God's children in a fundamental recognition that every person under the sun is a soul for whom Christ has died, and therefore is one of worth and of significance, and one who should be the proper concern of each of us, and one for whom all of us should care. The depersonalizing, dehumanizing forces at work in our culture are resulting in the insignificance of the human person. And when there is a community that calls Jesus Lord, there is a community that says that our expression of obedient love is to be actualized in our demonstration of this recognition and consideration and care for all of God's children. There is an ancient anonymous prayer that we need to hear, to heed, to practice. Lord, help me to see in all I meet on country lane or city street, not just strange people passing by, but souls for whom our Christ did die. We cannot properly confess Jesus is Lord until we see every child of God as a child of God, and as one for whom Christ died. To call Jesus Lord suggests not only the creation of a relationship of obedient love, but it suggests the creation of a relationship in which there is a new center of loyalty. You and I live in a world where we have many loyalties. On occasion, these are conflicting loyalties, and we have to give priority to some of these loyalties. I have a loyalty which I owe to my family. And God nor society will hold me guiltless if I neglect this loyalty. I have a loyalty which I owe to Southern Baptists who pay my salary in this institution and make it possible for me to fulfill my vocation as a teacher. And neither God nor Southern Baptists will hold me guiltless if I neglect that kind of loyalty. I have a loyalty to the state of which I am a citizen and to the nation of which I am a citizen, and I shall not be guiltless if I neglect that loyalty. But first and last, when I call Jesus Lord, I am saying, here is my highest loyalty. And whenever there is a conflict of loyalty, we must obey God rather than man. And each of the lesser loyalties, important as they are and valid as they are, must fall into secondary or third or fourth place in the light of this primary loyalty. Our Lord speaks to us across the centuries, and He says to us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then do not do the things which I say. It is in the choice of loyalties that we reveal either that He is Lord in our lives or that we have some other Lord. My fear is not that you and I will live lordless lives. We'll not do that. For every man has his God. But my fear is that I may give my ultimate loyalty to someone other than the one to whom it is pledged and the one to whom it rightly belongs. In Ibsen's Peer Gynt, we see the old man near the close of his life standing in the midst of an onion patch. And he picks up an onion, and layer by layer, he pulls it apart. Each layer representing a phase of his life. And then he comes until he has no more layers left and he realizes that the onion had no core. And in a moment of insight, he says, "This is what is wrong, what has been wrong with my life. It has not had a core. It has not had a center." When we confess Jesus is Lord, we are saying that under the Father's sovereignty, here we have found the core. Here we have found the center. And all else radiates from that center. God help us to be and to become a congregation of worshiping, working, profitable servants whose confession, Jesus is Lord, is matched by the recognition of obedient love and of unfeigned loyalty to Him. Let us pray. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.